content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the November 2019 issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin with the second line of Who's Who. Tierra McCowan, center for the Fever. Her height is 6'7". Her weight is 239 pounds. She was born September 28, 1996 in Bryan, Texas. In 2019, McGowan averaged 10 points per game and led Indiana and all other rookies in rebounds, 9, and blocks, 1.3 per game. The third pick of the 2019 WNBA draft, McGowan helped Mississippi State to the national title game in her sophomore and junior years. She owns the NCAA tournament career record for rebounds, 240. She was the SEC Player of the Year as a senior and is the only athlete to leave MSU with 1,500 points, 1,500 rebounds, and 250 blocks. Question, what is Indiana's NBA team called? It's called the Indiana Pacers. Next, we have Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns. His height is 5'11". His weight is 198 pounds. He was born November 5th, 1992, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In his first game back at MetLife Stadium since being traded from the New York Giants in March, Beckham caught 6 passes for 161 yards in a 23-3 win over the Jets. His receptions included a one-handed grab along the sideline for 33 yards and an 89-yard catch and run for a touchdown. In 5 years with the Giants, Beckham had 4 1,000-yard receiving seasons and made 3 Pro Bowls. He was the 2014 Offensive Rookie of the Year. Question, in what decade did the Giants and the Jets begin sharing a stadium? Answer, the 1980s, 1984. And finally, we have Jacqueline Quaid, outside hitter, Illinois. Her height is 6'2". She was born December 1st, 1997 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Through the first 7 matches of the season, Quaid, a senior, led the Illini with 4.9 kills per set, second in the Big Ten. At first-team All-America is 2018, Quaid made the NCAA Championship All-Tournament team as the Illini advanced to the semifinals. She led the Big Ten in total kills, 560, and also in points, 625, which was 6th in the nation. Quaid, who played in every game as a freshman and became a starter as a sophomore, made the academic All-Big Ten team in 2017 and 2018. Question, how many schools are in the Big Ten? Answer, 14. Page 22, prime time. Team LSU Tigers, position quarterback, spotlight. In his second season under center, the Ohio State transfer is transforming the Tigers' passing offense and has inserted himself into the Heisman conversation. And we're talking about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow remembers tucking a stool into his locker and then collapsing onto the floor. He never passed out before, so this was all new. His body was devoid of nutrition after one of the longest games in college football history. LSU's 7-overtime, 5-hour marathon loss at Texas A&M last November. Burrow had attempted 38 passes and had run 29 times. One minute he was lying on the visiting locker room floor. The next, he was on a table with an IV in his arm and trainers feeding him cookies and applesauce. It wasn't pleasant, but it was very much in character. Burrow is, after all, known as a tough guy with gobs of grit, a player who seeks collisions and refuses to slide. As a backup quarterback at Ohio State, he begged his coach to let him play on the kickoff team. Dehydration aside, Burrow emerged last season as a potential savior at an embattled position for the Tigers. Now, through four games in 2019, he was near the top of the NCAA leaderboard in every passing statistic, leading a newly formed high-octane offense for a team with playoff hopes. Runs in the family. Burrow isn't just a tough guy. The senior, who is working toward his master's degree in liberal arts, has a lighter side. He's a cartoon buff who owns Looney Tunes socks. He also has a Space Jam sweater. He plays guitar and thinks about black holes and time travel. He spent a summer interning on Wall Street, and he is a devotee of Honeycrisp apples. He's not all healthy all the time. He eats a caramel apple before every game. But back to that tough side of Joe Burrow, the one that had him collapsing after a football game. Burrow's highlights from last season are a reel of big-time throws and big-time hits. There's the clip in which Burrow drags a Florida defender a few yards on a quarterback keeper. There are some in which he stands upright in the face of pressure to deliver a couple of significant third-down completions in the big win at Auburn. How about the clip of him stiff-arming a Georgia defender in a move that resulted in 30 more yards? Burrow's toughness is rooted in a family full of athletes originally from rural northern Mississippi. His athletic lineage dates back nearly a century. Dot Ford, his grandmother, once scored a state record 82 points in a Mississippi high school basketball game back in the 1940s, and grandfather James Burrow was a point guard at Mississippi State. His uncle Johnny played safety for Ole Miss in the 1980s, and his father Jimmy was a defensive back for Nebraska. His two older brothers, Jamie and Dan, both played for Nebraska. If that's not enough, Jimmy followed his playing career by coaching football for nearly 40 years, most recently as the defensive coordinator for Ohio University. Joe attended his first sporting event, his brother Dan's basketball game, at the age of 5. Days old. As a 5-year-old, he watched Jamie start at middle linebacker, and his father coached for Nebraska during the 2002 Rose Bowl. All Joe remembers from the day is the T-Rex float in the Rose Bowl parade. That was right around the time he began to play youth football. When his third-grade team didn't have a quarterback, it was up to the coach's son to run the offense. That's how Joe became a quarterback and not a defensive player like his dad, uncle, and two brothers. Just because he played offense did not mean he played soft. He had no choice, says Jimmy. We weren't going to let him not play physical. New day. Burrow, who grew up in the Plains, Ohio, where he led his high school team to a state championship appearance as a senior, originally started his college career at Ohio State. He played in parts of 10 games over 2 seasons, but he fell down on a depth chart. By 2018, he was looking for a new home. Though LSU had a reputation for being a run-first team that was behind the times offensively, Burrow and his dad were convinced the Tigers might be a good match. We had to research the QB situation then and be convinced that things were going to be different with the offense, says Jimmy. It's been an evolution. We were told up front that they were going to change. In Baton Rouge, the quarterback position had long been viewed as the thorn in the side of a program that appears to have everything else necessary for a return to championship glory. At one point, LSU had 6 starting quarterbacks in 6 years, and up until this year, it had not cracked the top 80 in passing since 2013, when they had future NFL stars Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. But Burrow, who won the starting job after a few months on campus, captivated the fans by base fan base by winning 10 games and throwing for 2,894 yards and 16 touchdowns. In his final four games, he completed 67% of his passes for 1,166 yards, throwing 10 touchdowns and one interception. That encouraged everyone in Baton Rouge and led to a shift in offensive philosophy, something always planned by expedited by this quarterback's tools. The Tigers brought in former Saints assistant Joe Brady to install the wide-open spread offense, and so far, the results have been electric. Burrow crushed number 9 Texas in week 2 in the second week of the season, throwing for 471 yards and 4 touchdowns. He then set an LSU single-game record with 6 touchdowns and a win over Vanderbilt. Now the Tigers are ranked in the top 5, and Burrow is firmly in the Heisman race. Through 4 games, he was second in the nation with 1,520 yards passing and tied for second with 17 TD passes. The whole state is buzzing, even the governor. The excitement is real and it is palpable, says John Bell Edwards, and that's largely because of Burrow, who remains as interesting as he is talented. When asked the last topic he searched on Google, he retrieved his phone from his pocket and looked in his browser history. He looked up and said, superluminal time travel. Trading places. Just because it doesn't work out at your first school doesn't mean your college career is over. Sometimes transferring schools and starting anew can lead to big-time results. Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma. Despite being Big 12 Freshman Offensive Player of the Year in his first season at Texas Tech, Mayfield decided that Oklahoma would be a better fit. It was the right decision. In 3 seasons in Norman, Mayfield threw for 12,292 yards and 119 touchdowns and won the 2017 Heisman Trophy. Russell Wilson, Wisconsin. After 3 productive seasons at North Carolina State, Wilson played out his final year of eligibility at Wisconsin. It was there that he established himself as a future NFL star. The 2011 Big Ten Quarterback of the Year led the Badgers to the conference title and threw for 33 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions. And finally, Scott Frost, Nebraska. Frost spent 2 uninspiring seasons at Stanford before deciding to transfer home to Nebraska, where he became a legend. Over 2 years, he went 24-2, including leading the Huskers to a perfect record and the 1997 national title. At 44 years old, he's now back in Lincoln, this time as head coach. Poster face-off. We have Saquon Barkley versus Mark Stone. Saquon Barkley, New York Giants running back. Mark Stone, Vegas Golden Knights right wing. Age, Saquon Barkley, 22. Mark Stone, 27. Height and weight. Saquon Barkley is 5'11", 233 pounds. Mark Stone is 6'4", 219 pounds. Hometown, Copley, Pennsylvania for Saquon Barkley. Winnipeg, Manitoba for Mark Stone. Nickname, Say-Say. Barkley's parents gave him this nickname as a baby. He's also sometimes called Saquad, a moniker given to him by former teammate Odell Beckham Jr. in honor of Barkley's muscular quads. Nickname for Mark Stone. Last year, Vegas fans tried to come up with a nickname for him, but so far, those efforts have proven fruitless. Good guy, Saquon Barkley, has raised money for research into a genetic disorder called 22q11.2. Deletion syndrome, which occurs when a person is missing parts of the 22nd chromosome. His niece, Amira, suffers from it. For Mark Stone, while the Ottawa Senator Stone helped raise money for Freedom Dog Rescue, a local charity that fosters and adopts dogs. Roomies, Saquon Barkley. At Penn State, Barkley shared a room with Grant Haley, a cornerback. The two are now teammates. Last season, Stone invited Sens rookie Brady Tkachuk to stay in his Ottawa home. Family ties. Barkley's uncle, Iron, was a 3-time WBC middleweight boxing champion. Stone's brother Michael is a defenseman for the Calgary Flames. Late bloomer, Barkley didn't make varsity until his junior year of high school. Despite a prolific junior career, Stone was selected in the sixth round of the 2010 draft because he was thought to be a poor skater. And finally, Frenery. For Saquon Barkley, Eagles running back Miles Sanders. He was Barkley's backup at Penn State. Now the two are NFC East rivals. Teammate Max Pesoretti. The two had been opposite sides of a fierce rivalry. Pesoretti with the Canadiens and Stone with the Senators. Now they enjoy celebrating goals together. Chess Queen, owning the board with Jennifer Yu, 2019 United States Women's Chess Champion. Jennifer Yu was only 10 years old when she realized she was good at chess. Like, really good. She had already been playing for a few years, having discovered the sport at an after-school program while in first grade. She had competed in tournaments since she was 7, and despite taking private lessons, she remembers thinking she wasn't all too good. That changed during a trip to Maribor, Slovenia, for the World Youth Championships. Sitting there among the globe's best players in her age group, she finally felt that she belonged. For someone who didn't think she was very good, she ended up finishing 11th. That started a meteoric rise to the top. Checkmate. Outplay your friends. Got a match coming up? Don't sweat. Jennifer breaks down a few things to remember that will give you a leg up. Don't rely heavily on gimmicks. It's tempting to learn 2 or 4 move checkmates. That may seem like an easy way to win, but as Jennifer says, they only work a few times. It's a trap when you first learn to play, she says. Usually the opponent falls for it the first time, but never falls for it again. Practice your moves online. Jennifer recommends chess puzzles, which give you snapshots of various board positions and challenge you to find the best move or series of moves. You can find them online or in workbooks. Check yourself. Even if you have what you think is an obvious play, before every move, take a look at the board. Jennifer says, recognize the possible checks, captures, and threats. That helps you focus on the end game, winning. In 2014, at age 12, she won her division at the World Youth Championships in Durban, South Africa, becoming the first American female to do so in 27 years. Last April, the 17-year-old from Ashburn, Virginia, became the first teen to win the United States National Tournament in 19 years. I didn't really expect that to ever happen in my lifetime, she says. This is my 5th year playing in the tournament, and I've never done this well. It was a shocking result. Afterward, I really wanted to improve more. One of the things that drew Jennifer to chess is that she loves solving the numerous puzzles that come up during a match. That's my favorite part, she says. When I was little, that's how I practiced. I just kept doing it. She also liked the fact that after one game ends, there's a clean slate for the next one. It's cool that no matter how badly you're doing, the next game starts over. It's just another chance. Up next for Jennifer, more tournaments, including the Women's World Cup of Chess in 2020. Practicing her craft for at least an hour a day and balancing schoolwork at Stonebridge High with college applications and piano lessons. But the soft-spoken Jennifer has quite a line to put on her resume. She's currently ranked the 13th best female player under 18 in the world. There are a lot of really beautiful parts in chess, she says. There isn't anything else like it. College basketball preview. Magic Man. With passing skills reminiscent of former Spartan star Magic Johnson, Cassius Winston has relied on his work ethic to become the nation's best player. When he first took up basketball, Cassius Winston always was crying on the court. He'd get down on himself after making a mistake, and the tears would flow. Eventually, Winston became sick of the feeling. After a while, he says, "You don't want to cry." So he kept playing, even as he made mistakes. He kept pushing and learning. Over the years, Winston has done more than just cut down on his mistakes. after a junior season at Michigan State, in which he averaged 18.8 points a game and 7.5 assists per game, finished as a finalist for the Bob Cousy Award as the nation's best point guard and guided the Spartans to a Final Four appearance. Winston is the favorite for Player of the Year and the leader of the nation's best team. "It hasn't hit me yet," says Winston of his stardom. "I was just talking to my mom, and she said, 'You're the number one player in the country.' And I was like, 'Wow, I don't think so.' It's humbling. I feel like I've got so much to prove." The race for everything. Winston grew up in Detroit with two younger brothers, and they competed constantly. Anything in life we would make into a competition, said his brother Zach, who was a sophomore guard at Division III Albion College in Michigan, less than an hour's drive from East Lansing. "It would be who could bring in the most groceries. As cashiers, we'd talk trash no matter what. Basketball, football, playing Madden, always trying to win. And we still do. That competitive nature helped cashiers on the court. His father, Reg, would take him to Joe Dumars Fieldhouse, a local gym in Detroit, to play against grown-ups. I was slow, Cassius remembers. I had to figure out ways to score and make plays. The process of feeling his way through games helped him tremendously. He might be the best player in the nation, but he's certainly not the most athletic. A lot more guys have more length and athleticism than me, says Winston, who is just 6'1 and 185 pounds. His high school coach, Pat Donnelly, agrees. He doesn't pass the eye test, but Winston learned from his mistakes and found ways to beat opponents who might be bigger or faster. He understands his deficiencies, and he compensates through intelligence, says Donnelly. He has an incredible understanding of angles, how to use his body. He worked on little skills that could overcome a disadvantage in quickness. It was those little skills that got the attention of Michigan State coach Tom Izzo. In fact, when Izzo first watched Winston play at University of Detroit Jesuit High, Izzo took Donnelly aside and said, "He's the best high school player I've ever seen, since Magic." Yes, that Magic. Irvin Magic Johnson, the Michigan State legend and NBA Hall of Famer. "Let's be clear, he's not Magic," says Izzo, "but his passing skills, his court awareness, his ability to see the floor, his intelligence as a guard. Winston does it in his own way." Winston tries not to think too much about the comparison. "Magic is Magic," he says. "He's going to be untouched at this university, but just to be in the conversation is amazing." Finding his way. Like Johnson, Winston has a nickname, Casual Cassius. When he arrived on campus, he was, in his words, laid back and cool. Izzo, however, is anything but laid back. That led to a trying freshman season for Winston. He averaged 6.7 points in 20 minutes per game. Green machine. Winston has overcome his lack of quickness to become a quality scorer, and his work ethic has earned him the respect of his teammates and Izzo. This is on the far right. "Things came easy to him in high school," says Izzo. "His freshman year, he got smashed in the face a bit. It was the best thing that happened to him. He had to learn how to work even harder. It didn't help that Winston had a habit of eating hot Cheetos and Starbucks before every game, sometimes an entire pack of the candy. I had to figure out a way to cut it out," he says. "I had to get my body better to compete." In his sophomore season, a more dedicated Winston was a finalist for the Cousy Award and was elected to the All-Big Ten third team. He then took a giant leap last year as a junior, leading the Spartans to their fourth Final Four in a decade. "The All-America Big Ten Player of the Year, that was surprising," he says. "It wasn't something I expected or something I thought was on my path. It just happened." Winston has become the face of a storied program and one of the most recognizable players in the sport. "He's handled the success as well as anybody," says Izzo. "He's not selfish or egotistical." Shortly after the Spartans lost to Texas Tech in the national semifinals, Winston announced he was foregoing the NBA draft to play his senior year. 2 weeks later, he graduated with a degree in advertising management. Now he's in a graduate program for sport coaching and leadership. Before every season, Winston writes down what he wants to accomplish. Last year, one of the things he described was go to a Final Four. This year, his goals are bigger. He wants to win a national championship. He wants to be named Big Ten Player of the Year again. He wants to be the National Player of the Year. And when the season is over, he wants to attain his ultimate goal, making the NBA as a first-round pick. He's asking a lot of himself, but he's ready for the challenge. I wouldn't call it pressure, he says. I would call it opportunity. Winston, of course, isn't as emotional as he once was on the court, but there's a good chance you might see him cry in the next 8 months. This time, though, he'll be shedding tears of joy. Talented freshmen are everywhere, but returning stars will power these championship contenders. Men's top 10. Number 1, Michigan State. Last year's record, 32-7. Three starters are back from last spring's Final Four team. None is more important than point guard Cassius Winston, a senior who led the Spartans in points, assists, and steals in 2018-2019. The team will also get a boost from the expected return of junior guard Joshua Langford, who was one of Coach Tom Izzo's best players last season before a left ankle injury caused him to sit out the final 3 months. Number 2, Kentucky. Last year's record, 30-7. The Wildcats will again welcome one of the country's best groups of new players, including three of the top 25-ranked recruits. Sophomore guard Ashton Hagans, who quickly became Kentucky's star defender as a freshman, will be back in Lexington to anchor the team's backcourt. Number 3, Kansas. Last year's record, 26-10. The Jayhawks were bounced from the tournament early last season, but they should be in line for improvement this year. Sophomore guard Devin Dotson, a talented passer, and senior center Udoka Azubuike, who made a team-high 70.5% of his field goal attempts last season, will pair with another top recruiting class for a deep run. Number 4, Duke. Last year's record, 32-6. Sophomore point guard Trey Jones will be joined by a new class of talented freshmen headlined by 6'10", 275-pound center Vernon Carey Jr., whose father was a Miami Dolphins offensive lineman for 8 seasons. Also arriving on campus will be 6'9", Matthew Hurt, a 5-star recruit from Minnesota who is one of the best shooters in his class. Number 5, Louisville. Last year's record, 20-14. The Cardinals were glad to see 6'7" forward Jordan Mora return for his junior season, as he will be one of the top veteran players in the ACC and the country. Another key vet will be the new to the team. Point guard Lamar Kimball is a graduate transfer from St. Joseph's, where he averaged 15.6 points per game last season. And finally, number 6, Florida. Last year's record, 20-16. The Gators got their own graduate transfer boost when Virginia Tech forward Kerry Blackshear, 14.9 points per game, and Noah Locke for the most three-pointers made by a freshman, 81, for a top inside-out combo. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.